welcome to the Bottomless Mimosa Book Club, a bad idea that we had that has become all too real. My name's Tyler.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Anne.
Sarah, are you from, Long Island?
I'm from Long Island. Do you know Billy Joel? Do you know John Bellion?
Oh, he did a nice song, yeah. One of those.
How's everyone doing on this?
Great.
I found my glasses in Anne's apartment.
Great.
Yeah.
I can see
people now. People find things that they didn't know that they had in my apartment.
I'm hungover.
I don't think any of us, none of us went out last night. I didn't go to bed at 6 a.m. today.
I don't drink.
Sarah is drinking a very comically large wine glass full of iced rosé right now.
Tyler's drinking what he thinks is coffee, but I added some bourbon to it.
Oh no, I am. And Anne is drinking red wine.
They say glass. Scorpios love a full-bodied red wine.
And we all drink mimosas before this.
We got kicked out of our last Uber because Tyler ruined everything.
Friend of the pod, Red Pepper Taqueria.
We tried to record earlier. Also, Tyler deleted our recording at Red Pepper.
He couldn't hear us. Everyone was yelling. We went to a brunch place in Buckhead, did bottomless mimosas, and tried to record this episode. And all you could hear was the waitress being disappointed.
Oh, she was not happy about it.
Once the wig got out, she was mad.
Oh, and Sarah's wearing a wig.
Marianne Williamson.
Speaking
joining
of.
Us live in the studio is presidential candidate Marianne Williamson.
Listen, Mr. Trump, I'll meet you on the battlefield, and I'll meet your hate with love.
Welcome to the pod, Marianne. And that's fitting because the book we're discussing this week is A Return to Love, Notes on a Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson, who at the time of this recording is technically still running for president. She was in the first two debates. She's running for the Democratic nomination. And
I don't think so.
She's trying. She's doing her best. But she...
Not Republican?
She got cut after the second debate for... she didn't
saying
have
something
enough,
inappropriate?
Like, no, like that no one's voting for her.
Less than 1%.
I would vote. She has my vote.
Yeah. But basically, in that
maybe
first
not.
Couple debates...
I'd vote for her.
She made a big impact, which got the internet a-talking.
Oh, which one was that? Oh, yes.
Would you like me to say the quote?
Say the quote.
Wait, also, if you break my glass, I'll murder you.
I don't have health insurance because Mrs. Trump doesn't think that we should treat our wounds with love. He thinks we should treat them with hate. But we need to kiss our cancer.
We do need to kiss our cancer. Thank you, Marianne. So this book, it's called A Return to Love. It was originally published in 1992. Anne, were you alive in 1992?
I don't think my parents even met then. I think my parents met in...
Was that 30 years ago?
No, I think they met in 90, like, early 90s, yeah. I think my parents got married when they were 30.
So the book was published in 92. The version we read was re-released in 96. I wasn't alive. Sarah wasn't alive. You, Anne, was right under the
cover. I was born in 95.
Great. So... Your mom was reading this while pregnant with you, I guess?
Oh, Marian. No, I think my mom does. My mom says that she has good ideas, but that her being a presidential candidate
here's
is a
thing.
Little out of line.
Well, here's the thing.
Ida loves Pete Buttigieg, my roommate.
I have a candle and an altar with crystals and candles and my tarot cards.
Do you?
I do. My... I read myself today, and it gave me the hermit card.
You read myself?
I read myself.
You did a tarot reading for yourself.
Yeah.
And it gave
and
you the hermit card?
Yeah, it told me you should look inwards, and I said,
no.
Nah.
Wait, so...
Do you have any metal straws?
Yes, I do. I'll grab them.
So let's get into this. Marianne Williamson, a self-described... spiritual author. Jewish woman thinks she needs to be president of the United States. And she made a big splash online by saying things like, Donald Trump has dark psychic energy.
And I agree with that one.
He does. And
yeah.
Then she would call the Prime Minister of New Zealand and challenge her to have the best country for children.
She'd say, hey girl.
New Zealand?
Hey girl. New Zealand.
Wait, what did she say?
It's near Australia.
I think Australia is my... I want to go there on my honeymoon.
I had a crush on 5 Seconds of Summer, so...
Are they from...
Isn't that multiple people?
Yeah.
You had a crush on the group.
I've never had a crush on more than one boy at a time.
I heard that about you. And another thing that Marianne did that grabbed people's attention was her interesting way of speaking, which Sarah is trying to capture now.
So, I speak a lot like Judy Garland before she died, but I am Marianne Williamson, except time is not real, so I might be Judy Garland.
It's very that. I read an article where a linguist determined that she speaks with the mid-Atlantic accent, which was thought to be extinct.
And a linguist is like...
somebody who knows linguistics.
They can... linguistics. So like at the concerts, the people in the corner with... you're doing sign language.
That's technically a language.
They're like sign languaging the rap lyrics?
Listen, she's not wrong. I'm learning Swedish on Duolingo. IKEA.
For IKEA, so you can know what you're buying.
Yeah.
No sponsorship here because IKEA's furniture isn't good.
Friend of the pod, IKEA. Another interesting thing from this book is there's a quote pulled from it that has been, for some reason, globally attributed to Nelson Mandela. The quote
Go ahead.
Who is Nelson Mandela? Is that what you're going to say?
I don't know who that is. Yeah.
You know Morgan Freeman?
I do know
him. It's a lot like
that. I don't know him personally.
You don't know him personally.
People have said that this is Nelson Mandela, but in fact it is me, Marianne Williamson. Here's the quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
And for some reason, the whole world decided Nelson Mandela said that. And it's been in a lot of movies, including Aquila and the Bee.
My friend has Disney Plus, and she gave me her password, so might watch that.
We should do a live stream.
Wait, okay, can we first go around the room, and what did you guys actually feel about the book?
I feel there were, kernels of good advice in this book.
I think there were good, yeah, I do.
Buried in the nonsense
were some
good ideas.
She tried to use things that she'd heard before and then made a book out of it.
It is literally a response to a book series that she read called A Course in Miracles.
Side note, none of us have read this book, so we don't actually know if she's just picking out parts that she likes.
Or if she wrote it herself.
To clarify, we've read A Return to Love, which is Marianne Williamson's book. None of us have read A Course in Miracles. And now I feel like we don't need to. I feel like Marianne captured the important.
That's what, it's a note. It's a notes on A Course in Miracles.
She wrote notes for us.
Right. It's spark notes on this hippy dippy lifestyle something.
What does hippie mean?
You're a hippie.
I'm not vegan.
You're a vegetarian.
Don't say that about me.
That's not public knowledge. Anne does not want to be publicly known as vegetarian.
But what does that mean? Like, is Marianne a hippie? Or is she... Because she's a freaking politician.
She's a spiritualist. She's technically not a politician because she's never successfully won an election. She ran for a congressperson of her district in California and lost.
What part of California?
Wait, why would I know that? I don't know.
Wait, look it up. Because I had to get the signature of somebody in California. So, fun fact about me is that I worked in D.C., for a committee which won't be named because I want them to still endorse me on LinkedIn. So I had to get signatures from a lot of congressmen. Oh, she's beautiful.
She ran for California's 33rd congressional district. The congressman is Ted Lieu.
Oh, I know Ted Lieu. He's gay.
Oh, Marianne Williamson had a crush on a gay man.
I've never done that in my life.
She mentioned at least 10 times in this book.
I didn't finish the book, to be honest. I couldn't. Right when, around chapter 10, when she started talking about cancer and AIDS.
The last half hour, I was doing my makeup for a party and looking in the mirror at myself while listening to this, and I thought a lot about where I am as a person.
Right. So, Sarah and Anne listened to this on audiobook.
She read it to us.
Narrated by Marianne, which is why their impression is so much better than mine. I read it on my Amazon Kindle.
Because Tyler is the only one here that can actually read.
Because I'm a capitalist.
I can't read.
I think I actually have undiagnosed
dyslexia.
I think I'm dyslexic and I think it's undiagnosed and I will never diagnose it.
And I think it's contagious.
Listen. When I was 12 years old and I read Percy Jackson, I thought I was dyslexic because I wanted to be a demigod.
We should read Percy Jackson.
We should.
Let's add that to the list. We already have a few.
There's 100,000 people listening live right now, and I can only imagine that number is going to go up when we post this online. So we're going to take a break. Anne's got to go throw up, And then we're going to come back and dive into the content. And we're back. All right, so let's dive into A Return to Love, Notes on A Course in Miracles. What's a miracle?
It's something you ask for.
You can ask for miracles. That's an important part of this book.
She was teaching people how to pray, basically, right?
Okay, so let's start with that. She uses a ton of like Christian words, like God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, praying.
Well, that's Jewish.
No, but Jewish people have God and Jesus.
Right. But no, they don't. Like, Jesus is not like important to Jewish people, though.
And also, she said in the book that you could, what'd she say? You could replace the word God with love.
No, I said that. I said that at brunch today.
You said that at brunch today.
Nelson Mandela said that.
She was using the words as stand-ins, and that you didn't need to be Christian to follow this way of thinking, right?
Yes, but I do think it's like, it's still a spiritual thing. Like, you have to be religious. Spiritual. Yeah, you have to be religious.
You gotta be something.
You have to have a god or an energy.
You have to be on mushrooms.
You have to be stoned out of your mind, I think.
I think Marianne, okay, what do you guys, I do think she may have experimented with psychedelics in her
youth. I think she did a lot of psychedelics.
I think she's on psychedelics right now.
I think she went into that in debate and she was like, hold up. And her like main assistant was like, yes, here's your acid.
Well, we've got Marianne in the studio, thankfully, so why don't we ask her. Marianne, have you ever experimented with drugs?
So, I think that acid is the only drug that is connected to God. Uh-huh. So, I've done a lot of acid and shrooms because I want to be connected to God.
Okay, right.
People but do when say
she
you
says
have...
God, what does she mean?
Love.
Right. So, in the book, she describes a miracle as just changing your perspective. It's a lot of, like, you can think your way out of your problems, right?
Very The Secret.
Which
Very
I do. I do. Okay. I do think like a lot of our daily problems are, it's stress and it wears down on you horribly. Yeah. But I do think like, I think she did go a little too far in some parts.
Well,
but
she wrote a 400 page book. And that was way too far, in my opinion.
I just remember.
No, I.
She said that. She's like, my generation, we were in a vortex of fear and loathing of ourselves.
Right. Okay, so that's a good point. She brings up love, which she says is the only thing that exists, which is interesting.
I don't think so.
She says everything that's not love is based in fear.
And fear is a mass hallucination.
Right.
Well, I don't know if you guys have ever hallucinated, but that's not fear.
Exactly. I'm afraid of it.
Listen, God made a matrix, and we're in it.
Great.
And anything that isn't love is a hallucination of God's matrix.
Well, my cat is on Molly right now, so.
That's catnip. Yeah, Sarah sprayed a bunch of this catnip spray.
It's called Meowawana.
It's called Meowawana, and then the cat licked it, and now it's fully unconscious, and we don't know if it's okay.
No, he's just a little stoned right
he's
now.
He's good.
Made contact with me.
He's alive.
Cameo
is our little baby kitty.
Friend of the pod, Cameo the cat.
He's a dog in a cat's body.
If anyone knows any good cat allergy drugs, email us.
Yeah.
Very allergic.
Yeah,
why
she's...
are you in this apartment?
Because I hate myself.
There's a cat 2 feet away from me.
If I accepted love,
then you can cast out your hatred for cat allergies.
Yeah.
Right. So the book was divided into two parts, the first being principles and the second being practice.
The first being hell, the second being God.
Those were, okay. I had a wild experience. I was sitting in a Starbucks when I started reading this book. Flip to the first page. The dedication is to both my fathers who art in heaven. Had a full out of
body. Is it Jesus and God?
I don't know. I don't
are
know.
Are her parents Sarah gay? Wait, does she have two dads? Or
wait,
she...
no, her. I think her dad is dead, and also God is her dad. Right.
These are all thoughts that went through my head. I flipped the page to the table of contents, thinking, well, it has to get more normal from here. And the only thing I see is chapter 1 labeled hell, chapter 2 labeled God.
Oh, there are only 2 chapters in the book?
No, those were the first 2 chapters.
Oh.
Yeah. But so the first part was principles, talking about basically love versus fear. What a miracle.
That was a lot. That was a drag to read. I'm not going to lie. Or sorry, to listen to. Okay. I did get the book on tape. I did not purchase the book.
You don't know how to read. And then part two was practice. So it was telling you how to apply these principles to relationships and terminal illness for some reason.
Okay. I think I'm on board with Marianne for most of her stuff, except that. But I do think it's basically just like, chill out, like,
but the thing is that I feel like
it's all about perspective.
I feel like it's just like, who the f*** cares? They're all thesis. It's just like, who the f*** cares? Everybody's an asshole. Just love everyone though.
Fair.
Because nobody is special. And we're all gonna die, and we're all already dead.
In a way. So, bringing up the terminal illness thing, there's a bit of controversy around this book and around Marianne as like a figure. Because there's a chapter of this book where she talks about the body.
I stopped reading midway through this chapter, actually. I didn't finish the book.
Going with, like, the love and fear dichotomy, she talks about how, like, illnesses like cancer and AIDS are just manifestations of your own fear.
Listen, if your mama kissed your cancer, you wouldn't have it. That's what Marianne says.
Right. And you need to write letters to AIDS if you have AIDS.
Listen. Tyler, Anne, what did you think about the quote, nervous breakdowns can be highly underrated methods of spiritual transformations?
I've had a lot of nervous breakdowns and none of them have helped.
That's fair. Like, none of them have been about things that mattered.
None of them?
Nope. They've all been about bull. So.
Are they actually like nervous breakdowns? Like you're... Like,
I mean, I'm on Zoloft.
You think you're going to die. No. Like you think you're going to die. Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. I think I've had one. I've had one full. No, I've had like two or three like full blown panic attacks before where I'm like I legit I'm just screaming. I think I'm gonna die. Yeah. And like,
and it helped.
I will lay on the ground and yell.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you said Marianne doesn't believe in medicine, but she didn't say that. She specifically said medicine is important if you believe in medicine.
That's also weird to me.
Okay. Me too.
So the thing is, she got widely criticized for being anti-medicine. She came back and made a statement recently, I think, that saying, of course you should take medicine, this is just extra. But if you... And this book was published in 92, but if you...
Think about what we were doing in 92. We did a lot of dumb stuff in 92.
I wasn't born.
I was a sperm.
You weren't a sperm yet, technically. But basically, in the text of the book, it's pretty bad what she says.
Yeah.
But like... It was a long time ago.
Listen, when she was talking it to me, it felt okay.
Are we voting for Marianne Williamson?
Yeah.
I'm writing her in.
I'm voting for Dick Cheney.
Listener, in a serious note, please don't vote for Marianne Williamson. She's not going to win.
Vote for the Democratic candidate.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Who? Listen, whoever it is, it's better than Trump.
Unless it's
let's not get political on this political
yes,
podcast.
Let's not get political about this book by a person running for president.
I don't drink.
Oh, something we skimmed over. Marianne Williamson used to be roommates with Laura Dern.
Who's that?
From Jurassic Park.
She's the hot woman I showed you earlier. She's old.
She's in Big Little Lies.
I haven't seen any of those. I don't like white wine. I only drink a full body red.
This is why
all the
gay men on the internet became obsessed with Marianne.
Mm.
Or it's part of it. Also,
because she likes red wine?
No, because she's roommates with Laura Dern.
Oh, is Laura Dern like a gay icon?
All women are. Ansel
she's
a
babe.
Laura Dern.
Sarah showed
me
a picture.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
I think I watched one like flash of it and it scared me and
she's
I ran away.
She's the lady scientist.
Oh my god. That's Cameo hot. Is in a box.
Oh, he's a good little boy.
Have you seen the new Star Wars?
Is that the one where Princess Leia is like a sex slave to the big, like,
no, that came
meat
out
man?
Fully in the the
in
80s.
The 70s.
Oh, okay.
That's not the newest one, actually. I think it's the sixth or seventh newest one.
I have not seen any of them, I don't think. I watched one where this guy was, like, picked up by a giant pig creature. No, a pig was picked up by some creature and was eaten. And I, like,
that
had
was
nightmares.
Park.
No, it was a Star Wars movie. I swear to God. It was a Star Wars movie.
That was Big Little Lies.
Never-ending story.
Oh, it was Enchanted, actually.
Cameo doesn't like this.
He's fine. I think he's just got, he's took too much Molly today.
She needs catnip. I hope.
Who's to say?
Oh, actually, no, this is wild. Ida's gonna hear this and freak out. I love foraging, and I found, so there's this mushroom called a death cap mushroom. It's a very common mushroom in the southeast. It's a white mushroom. It has like a little like ring around the stalk of it. And I picked two of them to bring them in to take pictures. And Cameo was hanging in my room. They came back and there was only one.
Can I ask you a serious question?
He ate one.
And where do you go foraging for mushroom? Because we fully live in the city.
I don't for, well, okay, I go running. I go on runs
where?
A lot.
Where?
In Buckhead, yeah. Like the houses and stuff. And they're forests.
You're just going in people's yards?
Piedmont Park is a good one. Piedmont Park is a good place to forage, for sure. Okay. I found a chicken of the woods there one time. I found lots of porcinis.
Remember when you stole a chicken from Beta and brought it to my fraternity?
I
a live chicken.
Okay. Sounds about right.
I honestly wish I'd kept that thing.
The chicken?
Yeah. I wish I'd gotten away with that. Like, it was so close. I would have literally had a pet chicken.
That's a lot of things. Marianne, what do you think about foraging for mushrooms?
I think that mushrooms can be a very powerful instrument for a spiritual transformation.
Right.
Okay, on this subject of mushrooms,
right.
I think Marianne did talk in the beginning about her childhood traumas and how she,
yeah,
you turned to drugs.
Remember when she said her daddy brought her to the war?
Yes.
The war? Oh, she said her dad brought her to Saigon,
yeah,
during the Vietnam War.
To show her what war was.
To show
was.
Her what war looks like.
Yes. But I do think Marianne definitely did a lot of drugs. You know.
She had to do psychedelics.
She dabbled. I mean, she was a hippie in the 70s. What else are you going
to
do?
But I do think, okay, I don't know. Oh, that's another book we need to add. How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan.
Is that the one about acid? Listener, add that to the list.
No. It is. It's a long book, and about a third of it is like the science of LSD, and I skipped
Listen,
that part because it was too much.
In junior year of high school, I had to read about the science of witchcraft, and that was a lot of acid.
Meanwhile, we had people coming over, our police officers, Officer Dare. Like, do you guys have Dare at your
we
high school?
We had Officer Wendy who did Dare.
Drug and alcohol resistance education. I think there have been studies that say like high schools that had DARE education actually like had higher rates of people that like ended up experimenting with drugs.
Marianne, did your high school have DARE education? Is that what happened?
Listen, I went to high school in the 60s when DARE was not a thing.
I feel like it was earlier. 60s? Oh, another thing we skipped over. Marianne Williamson is Oprah's spiritual guide, and this book was featured, I believe, as one of Oprah's favorite things back in 92.
I didn't finish the book, but I did listen to Oprah's podcast with Marianne, or at least part of it. Mm. And it was, they basically, like, she quoted, like, she just kept talking about this. She was just saying the same thing she said in the book.
She did an interview with Pod Save America, like, 2 days before the first debate she was in. So, like, before everyone in the country knew she was, like, a hippie witch. And so it was interesting to listen
to. Is that a bad thing?
No, but it's...
I feel like her and Stevie Nicks would get along.
Yeah. But, like, basically, Jon Favreau, who was interviewing her, you could tell throughout, like, the hour when he was slowly starting to take her less and less seriously, the more ridiculous stuff she said.
Well, I honestly think we need her, though. Like, I think she'd be fun.
Look at her. Sarah tied her wig up in a
knot. You know, we've already memed one president into office. I don't know if we need to do it again. So a big theme of the book was connectedness, because going off the love versus fear thing, she says we're all beings of love at the core, and we're just surrounded by shells of fear. And
yeah.
If you strip away the fear, we're all the same being underneath, so we're all basically the same person.
So
very hive mind.
If I'm understanding everything correctly, Marianne is a boomer. And she said that my generation is surrounded by fear because we blame our parents, but it's not our parents, it's us. We hate ourselves. And I said, but you're a boomer.
I do remember at one point in the book, which I sort of like this. I hate to say it, but she was talking about, like, she was like, oh, someone, like, I was talking to, they were like, oh, he has such a terrible spirit. And then she was like, no, he's a great spirit. And he has a terrible personality or something. I can't remember what it was. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes. That she was like, oh, his ego is just defending himself against, like...
I did like the ego stuff.
Right, but... and that was actually a statement about me, so...
Like, the ego... I like that she said the ego just protects you from being vulnerable. I don't like her specific views on everything, but I do think that it's true that our ego protects us from ourselves.
Right. So because she talks about the ego being, like, your selfness, where we're all the same connected Christ-like loving being on the center.
And we baby.
Have, baby. We're all baby. And we have this ego that makes us want to be individualistic and separate from other people to protect ourselves from something.
As basically, we were raised by people, imperfect people. Mm. And so when you're like that, just makes you imperfect, and so fundamentally. Since
everybody's parents are imperfect, you're like, it's my parents' fault, but really it's just you not accepting yourself.
This is a weird thought I had. I was listening to it at that one part, and I was like, wait, then I was like, oh yeah, we do taint our children. Why don't all the babies just raise each other? And then I was like, oh wait, how do you do that?
That's like a, I think that's a dystopian novel we had to read in high school.
That's Brave New World.
That's Brave New World.
That is not Brave New World. Wait, Brave New World
what's
had...
What's the one where they take you away from your parents?
Brave New World.
Yeah, but they still had imperfect people raising you. Exactly. Yeah.
That's the point of the book. And you keep saying that you don't want to, you're begrudgingly liking parts of the book. I think overall, it's like a good concept. She takes it to an extreme.
But she's running for president and she doesn't want healthcare.
She doesn't want, that is not true.
She wants
love care.
No, that is not what she said.
That's what she said.
She just doesn't have a healthcare plan.
She said, kiss your boo-boos.
That's what she said in her book. There are a lot of things in her book
She said, write letters to your disease so you can open a dialogue and learn to love one another.
I wrote a letter to my herpes.
Okay, so we pulled some quotes from the book that we're going to center some discussion around.
So I thought it was very interesting when Marianne kept quoting Harry Potter.
And Star Wars.
Yeah, so I don't her remember main, any so, of this.
She kept talking about how Darth Vader was really nice at the end and how
I don't think I read the same book.
Here's the thing. I just remember when Marianne was like, you need to just turn on the light when you don't have any love. And Dumbledore said, when there is darkness, you just simply need to turn on a light.
I have a serious question though. Was this book written before Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm.
When did Harry Potter come out?
Let me search.
Star Wars was out.
When did it come out?
Smoking causes heart attack.
Sarah, I think you're misremembering, because it came out, Harry Potter book one came out in 97.
So when did she ever quote Harry Potter?
I don't think that happened.
So, no, but here's the thing. I remember, I was on Tumblr when I was like 13.
In 97.
And everyone was like, if you're in the darkness, simply turn on a light. Same. Now, Marianne Williamson is saying, if you're in the darkness, turn on a light. And I said, isn't that Dumbledore?
Maybe Dumbledore was quoting Marianne Williamson?
That's very possible.
Did we just stumble upon that? Star Wars. She said Darth Vader.
Star Wars is like is way older than Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's like 2005.
Nope. No. I think Marianne Williamson ghost wrote Harry Potter.
I think you should drink some coffee. Oh, never mind.
Let's talk about how she's worth like over $10 million.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Right. And she made clear in the book that you don't have to be poor to be spiritual.
She said don't be poor.
She said don't be poor. She said money.
Money? No, wait,
she
money
said, God
poor?
God wants you to be comfortable.
Wait, money poor or other poor? Like, what did she say?
She's very rich.
She wanted people to be rich.
She also does a lot of like, she did a lot of like, counseling in the book that she described. Like, she's been like a guru and like a...
Like, she was the subject of the counseling or she counseled other people?
No, like, she was like giving people relationship advice and it was kind of wild.
Wait, what is her experience with relationships?
Oh, she's had a ton of... Did you not read that chapter?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I mean...
She's divorced right now. She has one child, right?
One child with her, I think, first marriage.
Yeah, but even before that.
Well, she talks about different kinds of relationships.
Which, that's true. There's sexual and...
Romantic. There's special relationships, which are just people you like. But, like...
I think you're a special relationship.
I think we have a special relationship, man.
It's not people we like.
It's people that we're drawn to. I don't like you, but I can't get rid of you.
You're the bane of my existence.
Right.
But I still love you.
Yeah, I mean, her whole philosophy is that at the core, we're all connected. And it's actually kind of like, so my family's deeply religious. I've had a lot of like Christian like conversations about things like this. Something that like they teach in the church is that like once you get to heaven, everything is stripped away except for like your love for other people. And so there's no marriage in heaven. There's no like being in a relationship in heaven. It's just everyone has that level of love for one another.
Do people have sex though?
I don't know. Marianne was talking about with like how at the core of everything, everyone is deeply connected.
Okay, are we going to talk about the bunnies?
You talk about the bunnies. Marianne Williamson, she's back from her break. Would you like to introduce the subject of the bunnies?
So, I read a study from a university that they all gave the bunnies high cholesterol diets.
Great.
They all got heart disease, except for one. And why was that? Because the PhD student that was looking after them would hug the bunnies. So you need to kiss your wounds. Like your mother kisses your boo-boos.
Drunk Marianne.
Yes, Marianne Williamson's healthcare plan, if she's elected president, is that she will come around and kiss everyone's boo-boos.
Marianne is the only presidential candidate bold enough to propose a witchcraft-based healthcare system.
Listen, here's the thing. Everybody is speaking lies, and Marianne tells the truth.
She actually just put out an interview where I believe the quote was, "The only way to combat outrageous lies is with outrageous truths," which is, I think, what she's saying.
Yeah.
It's what she thinks she's saying.
That's what she said. Right. As a woman, I heard that.
All right. Does anyone have any closing thoughts on a return to love?
It made me want to forgive my enemies.
But have you? You have so many enemies.
Sarah has so many people blocked on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. And when everyone's blocked you on Twitter, you gotta move to another
Listen.
Platform. No. Not yet.
And do you have any closing thoughts on a return to love?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Anne has private thoughts she does not want to share. And as for me, honestly, kernels of truth in a hippy dippy witchcraft pseudo Christian sort of soup, and I think you should all read it. Just like skim it once, and then I think you'll get the gist.
It's 2.5 hours on Apple Podcasts.
Not the way I do it. Right. So when we come back, our final thoughts. All right, we're back. And now we're going to go around the table and answer some final questions about A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. So, first of all, are we glad that we read this book? Let's start with Sarah.
Honestly, I am. I'm going through a breakup. And I think it just makes me want to forgive everyone.
Great. And are you glad you read this book?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Are you glad you listened to most of this book, should I say?
I think it infuriated me at times, and it also eased. No, I do think I kind of have already, I'm like a very type B person already, and I think that's kind of Marianne's stance, is like, just let whatever happens happen.
That's fine.
Whether or not it's religious, just let it happen. And I think that's nice.
I'm not upset that I read this book. I'm upset that I paid money for it, because I feel like every dollar we spent on this book is just encouraging her to continue running for president, which is not a great idea, you know?
I mean,
I do know.
Listener, please do not vote for Marianne Williamson.
Don't vote for her.
This is not an endorsement.
I mean, if she, it's her versus Donald, the Donald, as Mother Mary would say, I would absolutely vote for Marianne.
Honestly, if you have to have one... psycho, unexperienced, insane person in the office, I'd rather it be a woman.
I don't know. I think that she would... I wonder what would happen, you know?
Nothing good.
No, it wouldn't be bad. Like, can you imagine war with her? Like, would she... She would never declare war on anyone.
Can you imagine, like, anything?
She
That's what I'm saying. The president doesn't have any. I thought the president did not have any authority until Donald Trump came into office.
Marianne would hex our enemies.
Great. All right. Next question. Who would you recommend this book to?
I would recommend it to my mom because she is a very spiritual woman and like Christian, but not really Christian. So she'd vibe with Marianne.
Personally, I don't think I could imagine a single person in my life that I would ever tell them to read this book.
I think I would recommend this to sorority girls that I meet in the like waiting for the bathroom at parties, because like you have to talk to them about something because they're just always that drunk that they just want to have a conversation, and this would be a good way to make them no longer want to talk to me.
I don't think that's true. I feel like if I met a boy in a sorority party bathroom line that was like, please read Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love,
you'd marry him.
I would.
And lastly, since this is a brunch-based podcast, what would you drink while reading this book, Sarah?
I would have a mixed drink, probably with vodka, because it's a lot to take in and you need to be more open to it than you'd expect.
More open to the book or more open to vodka?
Both.
Great. Anne?
I would say I'm not endorsing any drugs, but I would choose peyote. Because I think everything that she says would only fully make sense to someone on peyote.
Maybe she was on peyote. And I would recommend absinthe if you can get it. Like the good stuff.
Oh, they sell that at Intermezzo. Cafe Intermezzo. They have
that
absinthe.
That doesn't sound right.
No, they have a whole absinthe menu. I swear to God.
You gotta do it right. You gotta give
it. It's not the psychedelic kind.
Right,
it's...
No, you need that to fully understand this.
Oh, yeah.
You need to be astrally projecting.
That's peyote.
That's what, okay. You took that one, so I'm suggesting absinthe.
Oh. So, yeah, absinthe causes hallucinations.
Yes. So, listener, place a special order for hallucinogen absinthe from Europe.
Shout out.
Fur to the pod, Europe. Alright, and just to close out, a little palate cleanser, let's all talk about another piece of media we consumed this week that we'd recommend. Oh. Want to start, Sarah?
So, I've been watching Victorious.
Oh my god.
And I had a dream that I was in a zombie apocalypse with the cast of Victorious, including the puppet. It was very good. Very good dream.
That's very funny. I actually have zombie apocalypse dreams all the time. But mine are usually like me getting trapped in a grocery store. And
with the cast of Victorious.
No, it's usually like a man that I want to marry. And we just end up... Anyways. I think... Okay, so a media. So I rewatch movies sometimes. Two of my favorites, which I both watched this week, is Mars Attacks. I love Mars Attacks. And then Gummo is another really good one. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I just paid for Hulu account.
Because I took Buffy off Netflix.
Yeah, no, I actually got Hulu just so I could watch Buffy.
I've got student Hulu because I'm young.
Oh. What's that like?
I have no idea.
All right, your turn.
So I don't know when this is coming out, but at the time of recording, The Crown Season 3 dropped on Netflix this week, which I'm obsessed with. I love a bunch of wealthy Brits with inherited power for no reason, just living, going about their lives. And Helena Bonham Carter as Princess Margaret is what I think I look like and how I think I act in public.
Wait. Is that the lady that played Bellatrix in Harry Potter?
Huh? Yeah, and she's playing the Queen Elizabeth's younger sister in Season 3 of The Crown.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's really good. She's fantastic. And that's how I'm going to live my life from now on. And do we have any closing thoughts from our guest, Marianne?
I just think you all should place your fear with love.
Place your fear with love. Okay, cool. Right. Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of our Bottomless Mimosa Book Club. If you have a book recommendation, hit us up at bottomlessmimosabookclub@gmail.com or check out our WordPress, Bottomless Mimosa Book Club.
Got a blast.
We got a blast.
Gotta go.
Until next time, remember, a miracle is a reasonable thing to ask for.